we will continue causing people who are in sin to feel guilt for the sins that they've committed, so that there's a context for us to present the good news of what Jesus did on the cross.
Welcome, everybody, to Conversations That Matter. I am your host, Alex Newman. Thank you so much for joining us today. We have a very special guest. He's actually been on with us here at The New American before. My colleague, Christian Gomez, interviewed him, but he's got so much to say. He is just so wise on important issues that are facing our country, that are facing the church in America today. His name is Reverend Kerry Gordon. He's the senior pastor and president at Cornerstone World Outreach Church. That's in Sioux City, Iowa. He lives there with his wife and their six children. In addition to his pastoral duties, he's also the president of the Peacemakers Institute. That's a theological school dedicated to equipping conservative thinkers with the tools necessary to achieve victory in the American culture war. He's been on all the TV programs, MSLSD, Fox News, and everything in between. His political commentary has been featured in hundreds of newspapers across the country, including USA Today, New York Times. We won't hold that against him, and all kinds of other ones. His radio broadcasts have been going out on thousands of radio stations around the world. He's a singer, songwriter. He's written two books. And one of his new projects that he worked on this with several of the people that we really like here, Trevor Loudon, Judd Saul. They've just been doing so much good work. Pastor, welcome on the program. Thank you. This film, Enemies Within the Church, you guys put this out, and I've seen it. It's extraordinary. I actually have extra copies for when somebody near me needs one. But tell us a little bit about it. Who are the enemies within the church, and what are they up to?
Well, thank you very much. It's always good to be with you on your show. Enemies Within the Church is a last-ditch effort to garner the attention of a largely sleeping evangelical church. We only wake up, it's almost like spiritual narcolepsy. We wake up just long enough to think, what in the world's going on in this country? Everything's crazy. And then we go right back into our stupor, and we don't really change our behavior. We don't question our ideas. We don't dig down and say, how did we get here? And there just seems to be this ongoing amazement with how bad things are, but very little direction from our modern clergy on how to fix it. And so we really tried to dig down in history and answer the question, what happened to this country? And we do answer that question, and we answer it very thoroughly. And then we point at some bad actors who are currently in this generation misleading God's people into dangerous error. We look at the plight of the future if we don't make massive changes, specifically with what's going on in our colleges and our seminaries, with some really serious heresy that goes by the moniker of the social justice gospel. And we basically deal with trajectory hermeneutics, where it began, you know, about 100 years after the Reformation, really, that here we are and where we're headed if we don't make changes. And I hope that everyone will go to our website, enemieswithinthechurch.com, and look at the materials that we've got for you. You can stream the movie. You can purchase a DVD copy if you'd prefer that. And then most importantly to me, after the movie's over, what do? Well, we have an action plan. You can see it on our website, enemieswithinthechurch.com, 4 steps to saving America. And I hope everyone will click that and read the materials that we have, 4 steps to saving America.
Yeah, I hope people will do it too. This movie is just critically important. Trevor Loudon is, of course, a regular contributor at the New American Magazine, and he's one of the major individuals working with this movie. In fact, he's the producer, and then, of course, Judd Saul, the director, we've had him as well. A wonderful, wonderful man of God serving the persecuted church in Nigeria and other things. You know, Pastor, one of the things that was so stunning to me, and you guys have the video footage to prove it, you're not just like throwing out allegations, you show the video. A lot of ministries that historically have been pretty sound are now at the highest levels being infiltrated by the wokeness, the social justice stuff. You guys have some videos in there from Campus Crusade for Christ that are just like, what did I wake up in another universe? Even some of the like Southern Baptist seminaries that historically have been seen as kind of bastions of conservatism. Now they're hiring all these, you know, liberal professors. What is happening? And, you know, how do we turn the tide? Do you think it's even possible to turn the tide, or are we too far gone here?
Well, in the natural, if we set aside the possibility of a biblical proportioned intervention from God, which he has done many times in history. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then God says, I will heal your land. And he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. So we can believe those words. He will still heal our land if we will do what he's asked us to do, humble ourselves, pray, and repent. These are essential. So then that begs the question, well, what is it that we need to repent for? What does repentance actually mean? So if we will figure out what it is we need to repent for, and that's what we try to help people with this film, there are three big ideas that most churches believe are true and they're not. We need to repent for those ideas. And then repentance is not just an apology, it's an about face. It's to turn around and begin doing what you were not doing when you were sinning, right? So it's like, I'm sorry for these ideas, and those ideas led me to do wrong things. So now I'm repenting for those ideas. I'm turning around and I'm going to start doing the right things.
What are some of those things, Matthew? You mentioned three things. Can you give us a little bit of insight into what you think those things are?
Yeah, three $50 words: antinomianism, situationism, pietism. This is the unholy trinity that began our unraveling 100 years after the Reformation.
Give people a little sense of what those are. I think for a lot of people, those words are going to be unfamiliar. Just give us a little short breakdown of what each of those are and what they mean.
Absolutely. Antinomianism is the false notion that the love of God in the New Testament allegedly replaces the law of God in the Old Testament. Antinomianism means anti-law. And that is the basis for the next evil idea, which is situationism. Some people call it situational ethics. And that is when you're in a situation and you want to determine right from wrong, you don't go to texts of scripture, primarily located in the Ten Commandments of the Old Testament, that clearly delineate these are good things, these are bad things. But instead, you assess it emotionally. And you ask yourself the question, what is the most loving thing that I think should be done in this situation? It's entirely subjective. It's very compatible with American neo-Gnostic culture now, where we're all about our feelings and you made me feel bad, therefore the First Amendment should be thrown out, right? So situational ethics is really conducive to current culture in America. So it's created by throwing out the law. Now the law is subjective. And you just call it love, and it sounds biblical. Well, it's poison. And then thirdly, pietism. Pietism was born arguably in 1691 in the nation of Germany from two heretics named Frank and Spener. And they created something that at the time was completely rejected by the church as being aberrant in history, absolutely unthinkable. And what they did was they just made the simple argument, it'll sound familiar, we should just be focused really on our internal souls and our personal salvation and not meddle with exterior things of this world like law and politics. The New Testament doesn't really concern itself with those exterior spheres of human existence. It's just an internal, sort of a private thing. Well, that's where we are now. The church took their hand off the wheel and let Satan take the wheel for America, and he's steering us. And what we should have been is the conscience of our nation. We should have never allowed demonic people with demonic ideas to unravel the freedom and liberty that exclusively is sourced by our founding era, men who understood the Bible. And that's pietism, that Christians shouldn't be involved in politics. Those are the three big ideas that really wrecked us.
Well, I'm glad you broke those down. You know, I mentioned earlier, I was teaching in a church in West Texas just this Sunday. And as I was researching, I found this election sermon by Samuel Langdon, who used to be the head of Harvard University. And I encourage everybody to read it. I don't care where you are in your faith. I don't care where you are in your politics. You need to read this because it gives you some insight into the minds of the people who actually created this country, who wrote the Constitution. It's such an extraordinary document about the Hebrew republics and the role of the Bible and the church in the formation of governments and laws. It's just one of the most interesting documents documents I've ever read. And it really will give you some true insight into true American history and the mindset of the people who created our country. Folks, we're going to be right back after this quick break. We're going to talk to Pastor Kerry a little bit more. I'm going to ask him where he thinks we're going in terms of persecution, what should be the church's role in modern society today when it comes to government. And then we'll find out a little bit more about this film, Enemies Within the Church. So stay with us, folks. We're going to be right back after these quick messages here on Conversations That Matter for the New American Magazine.
Imprisonment, forced labor, permanent separation from my family, perhaps death. I knew what could happen to people who were caught trying to defect. But the watchtowers stood yards away. The possibility of a new life in a different world, one without tyranny, was within sight. The West. I thought of the rewards no longer crushed under the boot of communism. I would work and make money, no longer restrained by the chains of collectivism. I would say what I wanted, without fear of spies and informants nearby. I would be free. The frozen rain and Romanian mud seeped through my gloves and cloths. I fantasized about a fire burning in the wood stove of my parents' home, but I pushed those thoughts from my mind, closed my eyes, and waited for the cover of the darkness.
Get Defector, a true story of tyranny, liberty, and purpose by Mark Hobovkovich with Paul Dragoo, a thrilling page-turner that will remind you how precious yet vulnerable freedom is. Available at shopjbs.org or Amazon. For a limited time, get 20% off your entire order using promo code DEFECTOR20 when you purchase Defector at shopjbs.org.
Pastor, thank you for staying with us over the break. You know, it looks to me like we may be headed for a very different era in America. I mean, it looks like persecution, I mean, actual persecution, not the kind that, you know, we've seen over the last couple of decades, may be coming. We just saw in the UK, the Crown Prosecution Service said it's not appropriate to quote the Bible anymore in modern society as they're prosecuting this guy for quoting the Bible. You know, we see the government becoming increasingly hostile to Christians, trying to force us to affirm things that as Christians, of course, we cannot. Do you think persecution is coming? If so, how do we respond? How should pastors be training their congregations? How should parents be talking to their children? What do we do with this?
Well, my answer might surprise some people. And my response is to the question, is persecution coming to the American church? My answer is it is already here and it has been here for 20 years. But the difference is, I don't think most self-described Christians are going to suffer persecution because I don't think they're real Christians. And so what I'm saying is if you self-mute and you under the guise of wanting to be perceived by wicked people who have depraved minds, according to the scripture, if you want to pass the muster of their bad judgment and have them think of you as being a really nice, loving Christian, you're basically setting yourself up to fail, and you're going to fail your mission because you've allowed a perverted mind to become the new standard of judging you as to whether or not you're loving in their view. They don't even know what love is, biblically speaking. So most American Christians, I think, fall under the title of neo-Gnostic because they've rejected the law of God. They've rejected the real biblical model on how to evangelize people by causing them to feel guilt for the sins and transgressions they've committed against heaven. And then in that context, explaining to them, and this is why you needed a savior who can save you from your sins because you deserve to go to hell without that savior. See, this whole front half of the real presentation of the gospel is gone. There's no context for anyone to feel guilt. We have churches trying really hard not to make people feel guilt. So that group, which is enormous, I don't think they're going to be persecuted because they're just like the world. They think like the world, and they do not confront evil. Meanwhile, the rest of us who are sincere Christians, who really do understand the Bible and the truth of the real gospel on the pages of the New Testament, who present the gospel as the gospel is supposed to be presented, we will continue causing people who are in sin
to feel guilt for the sins that they've committed, so that there's a context for us to present the good news of what Jesus did on the cross. That church, the real church, which is a very small remnant now in the United States at this hour, that church is definitely being persecuted and will continue to be persecuted unless God mercifully, without us deserving it, intervenes in history and we're able to have perhaps another great awakening and many people are turned into Christ.
That's fascinating. And so you disagree with the kind of going out to evangelize, just say, you know, Jesus loves you, you know, you should come talk to me. And you think that's not the proper way to evangelize? Now you got to tell people about their sin so that they understand why they need the redemption of Christ.
That is exactly correct. And to the shock of many, many people, when I say that, I actually believe that one of the greatest pearls of truth in the entire Bible, perhaps the most sacred and most beautiful truth we will ever read in the Bible, is found in the message that God loves people. And why is that important to say? Well, because I believe that God loves the world, and I believe he loves people because the Bible says that he does. But then Jesus also said, you are not to cast your pearls before the swine. And so the correct presentation of the gospel should never begin with the pearl of the love of God. And that is precisely what most Christians think is the right thing to do. And it's the wrong thing to do. It's never been correct. And this will, I know it'll cause offense. A lot of pastors will be horrified to hear me say it. If I had the time, I could show you biblically why it's wrong. What is the first thing that the wicked need to hear? Not that God loves them. That's a pearl. They can't appreciate the love of God until they put it in its context. The first thing they need to hear is that they've transgressed against a great king who has a kingdom of laws. And because of that transgression, they are in serious trouble when he returns. Their only hope for escape is through repentance. They must come to the reality to realize they are guilty before the divine judgment of God. And only then can they fully appreciate their need to repent. As soon as they repent and understand the wonder of his forgiveness, this is when we present to them the pearl that they are so loved by God that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We've got the evangelism of the lost completely backwards, and we've got to fix that.
That's a fascinating view, and you're right. I think that's contrary to what a lot of pastors and Christians would think, but it's fascinating to hear your views on that. Pastor, also, I'm curious, what do you think the proper role of the church, of the Christian, of the Bible should be in the realm of civil government in the United States and, even outside of the United States? What should the church be doing? What should individual Christians be doing when it comes to politics? We've got a few minutes left.
Absolutely. And that's a fascinating question in itself, because when you live in a society that has no real solid guideposts upon which to build their individual conscience, if you do not give them the law of God, the Ten Commandments, which is the basis of right and wrong, for which a good conscience can be built, and the presentation of that law is how they begin to feel guilt and realize, whoa, I guess God sees me as a liar and an adulterer and a thief because I've broken these laws. Well, if you remove God's law from society, what are they going to build their conscience on? Well, they build their conscience on the state, and the state becomes the law, and the state becomes God. So if the state says it's okay to be gay, their conscience tells them that anyone who says it's not okay to be gay is sinning and they're a bad person. And actually having the state become the conscience for society is the single most destructive thing you could do to hardening the heart of sinners to where they can't even handle the presentation of the real gospel. If you want to destroy a nation and have it that nation largely go to hell, make sure that they don't build their conscience on God's law, but instead build their conscience on cosmic humanist law. And that's what we've done. So Christians must return not only to a personal application of the Ten Commandments in their private personal hearts and behavior, having the law written on their hearts, like it says in the scripture, but we also realize the law of God, Mosaic law, is specifically for society,
And we need to do everything that we can to get the moorings of justice in our courts and in our Congress retethered to the absolutes of thou shalt not kill. Well, there goes euthanasia and abortion. Thou shalt not steal. Well, there goes Marxism. And we're back to a free market. So we have to apply God's law to society. We need to be very involved as the conscience of our nation and be sure that our next door neighbor is building his conscience on the truth of the Ten Commandments and not on some subjective feelings that he gets from a professor somewhere.
Yeah. And that used to be pretty widely understood in our country. In fact, if you go to the Supreme Court, there's Moses at the top of the you know, building with the Ten Commandments. I mean, it was commonly understood back in the day that the Ten Commandments were the foundation of our legal system, et cetera.
Yes.
Pastor, we're down to just about 1 minute. I want to ask you again about this Enemies Within the Church. It's I think it's a hugely significant film. Again, Trevor Loudon is the producer. Judd Saul is the director. You, of course, are the writer. You have just this incredible sermon at the end of it that, you know, will give people goosebumps, I think. What's the best way for people to get it and watch it? And then what should they do with that information after they've done after they're done watching it?
Well, thank you for your kind words about our film. We worked really hard on it. And you can go to enemieswithinthechurch.com and you can stream it immediately, or you can order our new Blu-ray. And on the Blu-ray copy, you mentioned my sermon. There's only just a few minutes of my sermon excerpt that the director and producers in Hollywood decided to throw into the film. But on our Blu-ray, they've just added the full context. The whole sermon is there as well as the movie, if someone is hungry to hear a good long 1 hour sermon. And enemieswithinthechurch.com, get the DVD or stream it immediately, but please avail yourself to this very, very important information. We're giving it out there. We've did this because we care about our country and we care about the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can join with us and we could do something to save our country.
All right, folks, that was Pastor Kerry Gordon, writer of Enemies Within the Church and extraordinary pastor based in Sioux City, Iowa. Thanks for tuning in. This is Conversations That Matter for the New American Magazine. I'm your host, Alex Newman. Thanks for tuning in. Till next time, God bless you all.
Here's the news, Dad.
Is it, son? Is it?
What about this one, Dad?
Nope. It's hard to tell what's real and what's fake these days. There's just too much baloney out there. At the New American, they cut through the baloney and give me the truth.
Ditch the fake news and always get the truth. Go to thenewamerican.com.